Thanks for tuning in to the Thirst for More podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. Thirst for More podcast was created to help strength and conditioning coaches, personal trainers, fitness enthusiasts, and anyone that loves lifting heavy shit all be connected under one roof. We take deep dives into coaching, programming and training, running gyms, nutrition, and overall improving your knowledge in the field of strength and conditioning. If you're new here, I'm glad you're able to tune in and hope you can just take away one awesome piece of information today to help you along with your journey. If you're a returning supporter, I appreciate you being along for the ride. Now let's dive into today's episode. Let me ask you something. If you're an online trainer and you've got an online client roster, you're writing programs, you're doing check-ins, all the things, and somehow between all of that stuff that you're doing, you're paying for seven different apps and you're not even totally sure what three of them maybe even do. Does this sound familiar? Maybe you're overusing your technology here. Because here's what I'm seeing more in the industry with trainers are basically drowning themselves in different types of technology. And they're signing up for every single new platform that's going to drop a nice little slick sales page or gets pushed by some like influencer affiliate. And in the process, trainers and coaches are wasting hundreds, sometimes even thousands of dollars per year on tools that have zero return on investment for their actual business. And so today I'm going to help you decipher through all this kind of noise, and I'm going to walk you through some technology that I've really liked through my own online coaching and other online traders have recommended to myself as well to be able to run a professional, scalable, and a client-friendly business. And then I want to be clear about what I think is probably essential to just to make sure that you're on an even playing field and offering like the bare minimum to be able to provide a high-quality service. And then also what could be optional, and then what also is also just a straight-up waste of your money. Welcome back to Thirst for More podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley, and let's dive into this episode here today. Now, before I give you the tool list, I want to explain why this conversation is overall important, because most coaches approach the technology, let's just call it backwards, I guess. And the typical path goes something like this usually, is that you happen to go online or provide online service, and then you see a thread or a YouTube video or something on Twitter, Instagram, and someone recommends like all these different platforms for you. And then you sign up for all these different platforms because you don't want to fall behind of what the market or the industry is doing. And then 6 months later, next thing you know, you spent close to maybe $1,000 or $2,000 on different software and your client retention hasn't moved. You've not acquired new clients professionally, prospectively, or even your revenue hasn't really even moved. And then you're more stressed about managing your tech and your software than you are actually about coaching and providing results. And there's actually some data and information that's here to support this. And I found that in a 2022 survey by Finances Online, they found that small businesses use an average of 40 to 90 software applications. Now, we're not talking about necessarily Fortune 500 companies. We're talking about just small operations here. And the same research also suggests that a significant chunk of those subscriptions go underutilized or completely unused. So you're paying for the subscription, but you're not really using the full feature set, and the platform is banking on this for you to be able to not use it in credit, honestly, price gouge, but maybe you think you're getting more, but you're not really using it. And you can probably think about this even from a household perspective of how many different like streaming subscriptions that you have or things that you are paying for that you probably don't use all that much and probably can justify getting rid of. I know I'm probably guilty of that as well at times. And also the fact that you need all these different subscriptions to watch all these different things, right? That's how they kind of get you. They've kind of decided to spread apart, and now you feel like you have to buy all these things to see things. And the fitness industry is really no different in terms of how some of these softwares are marketing themselves of being very specific towards individual tasks versus finding one that can be generally all-encompassing, if at all possible. And for online fitness businesses specifically here, the problem is compounded by the fact that the fitness industry tech is booming at this point, and that's made a huge leap forward, especially over the past 5 to 10 years. And it is actually projected that the tech industry in the fitness industry in particular is to hit over $14 billion globally by 2030, according to Grand View Research. And that means that there's no shortage of new platforms competing for our money, And most of them have affiliate programs that pay other coaches to recommend them, regardless of whether the platform is actually the right fit for you or not. So you probably even see this on social media as well, as people are pimping out other platforms. So the question is never just what tools are available, but the question becomes, what does a professional online training business actually need to function and function at a high degree? And then what is potentially something that you could skip? So I'm going to break this down into four overall categories today here for this particular episode. And the first one's going to be client management and programming. So this is going to be like the core of how you do your operation and run your business. Then your communication and check-in infrastructure. And then your business and your payment systems. And then your content and your marketing tools, and why most of you are usually over-investing in this aspect, at least in my opinion. So let's start with category one, the programming and client management system. I think it's probably the most important piece that we discuss. And this is the operational piece and core aspect of your online business, right? This is my opinion. If this infrastructure that you have is not strong, or we'll even just call it weak, nothing else is really going to matter that I'm talking about moving on. So what I believe that you actually need is you need a coaching platform that handles three big things. The first is going to be your program delivery, your progress tracking, and ideally a habit or check-in logging. And to me, those are non-negotiables from an online coaching perspective. And the market leaders here on these platforms, at least in my opinion, are TrueCoach, TrainHeroic, and TrainerRise. And each has strengths and weaknesses, depending on the type of training that you're doing. Now, I will tell you, I have firsthand experience with TrueCoach and TrainHeroic. I use both those platforms for a little bit different things. So those are the ones that I'm most familiar with. I've also checked out TrainerRise. I've not pulled the button there on that one, but there also are other ones available. But those are usually the big three that we happen to see in the industry right now. Now, speaking about TrueCoach, I think it's relatively clean. It's intuitive for both the coach and the client, and particularly strong if you're working with general population clients, so not really super specific niche aspect people. And the user interface here is simple enough that clients can actually use it, which is arguably the most important feature that any platform can have, in my opinion, when it comes to delivering your services. Adoption rate among your clients is going to directly determine whether the platform is actually generating value, not only from their perspective, but also from your perspective, from an investment side, and being able to make things easy and fluid. TrainHeroic, on the other hand, leans a little bit more athletic, in my opinion, for the athletic population. It's built with more performance coaches in mind. And if your client base is athletes, strength focused, or competitive, I do think it has better team functionality and athlete facing motivation features. The data tracking is more robust on the performance side as well. And then the TrainerRise positions itself as the all-in-one option. It has a nutritional model, habit tracking, messaging, and integrates even with MyFitnessPal and Apple Health. And the trade-off is that doing everything means you sometimes don't do any one thing exceptionally well. I think that goes for the fitness industry as a whole, but in particular this platform. But if budget is a concern and you want to consolidate, I think this is a legitimate option that is out there. Now, here's what I want to push back on is that I see coaches, especially newer online coaches, still building programs in Google Sheets or Notion and sharing them via email and Google Drive. And I understand this impulse because it's free and it's familiar, but I do want to make a professional argument against it. And I'm coming from a place of endearment here, because when I started doing online coaching, this was before all these apps and user interfaces were existing, I was writing things back in old school Google documents, like hand typing out every single session. Like, I was putting a lot of work in. I was definitely undercharging for that. That's for sure. I know now. You can check back in the previous episode as I talked about charging your worth and getting the most bang for your buck out of your sessions, both online and in person. So I've kind of seen it all. And as somebody that has adopted more of the TrueCoach TrainHeroic style, I'm obviously a little bit biased towards that. But the reason I'm biased towards that is for several reasons, and I'll get into that. But the professional argument that I'm against, like the Google Sheet option, is that when your client receives a Google Sheet, the implicit message that your business is not formal enough to have a true platform. And the perception affects the perceived value, which then affects what the clients think they should pay you, which then affects your overall revenue at the end of the day. And it's not about the tool itself. It's about the signal that it's sending, right? And this is backed by just basic consumer psychology, right? So research and just general service quality, particularly the ServQL model developed by Paris Saruman, Zethinemi, and Barry, consistently show that tangibles, meaning the physical or the digital appearance of the service, are a meaningful dimension of perceived service quality. A professional platform is part of your tangibles, and I do think it does matter at the end of the day. So investing in a real coaching platform is not necessarily a luxury. I think it's a baseline professional requirement once you are charging clients meaningful money. And I also want to come from this as a perspective as if you're trying to sell somebody remote coaching and your prices are not only competitive, but maybe towards the higher end, you know, and you happen to deliver your program, however that you choose to do that, and you do it through Google Sheets versus something like Train Heroic or True Coach or another app, what you'll find is that people think, I have an app and then I've got these things embedded and the user interface is clear. I can just pull up the app and find my workout, where with the Google Sheet, you pull it up on your phone, you got to zoom out, type it in, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't look as clean and crisp, but the user interface isn't as friendly. And you just have to think, if you're just constantly getting emailed a Google document, you're probably just copy and pasting the same document, right? And just changing a few things. So they're just getting the same thing where, yes, the app is always going to look the same, but if you're updating exercises and exercises come in bed with videos and you're having to individually write the sets and reps each time and the rest periods and whatever, then you can see how you're immediately able to feel that you're getting a better value off of what you're charging. And it also gives you the justifiability to raise your rates or charge more because you have that whole platform there. And then what I think you don't need, at least yet, is AI-generated programming tools. And there are platforms now that will auto-generate programming using AI and market it as a scalability solution. And there are coaches buying into this because they think it means that they can take on more clients with less overall total work involved. And here's the problem when it comes to this, and this is just AI in general, is that programming is your product, okay? And the moment you outsource the intellectual labor of your program design to an algorithm that you don't fully understand, you have undermined the core value and proposition of hiring you specifically as an individual. So if a client is going to get an AI-generated program, they can go pay $15 a month for an app and cut you out of the equation entirely. Now, I'm not saying that AI has no role in coaching, but using it as a replacement for your programming expertise, especially at this stage of the technology side, is that a business risk, in my opinion, that most people aren't thinking about carefully when it comes to the long run. Now, I will tell you that I like to use AI to give me different ideas in terms of a programming perspective. So if I'm looking at toying around with a 3-day a week or 4-day a week program, I like to sometimes put together my general template of what I want. And then I might ask the AI, hey, what do you see as a potential weakness or a strength, or what could be a pitfall for this particular athlete? Or here's my program that I have designed. Here's the equipment list they have. Do you see any issues with my program being used? And that's something that I use all the time because the people that I work with have a variety of equipment available to them. And so, yes, I have an equipment list. And generally speaking, after I've worked with somebody long enough, I know what they have. And through seeing videos, I know what their setup kind of looks like. But a lot of times AI can do a lot of good thinking about if you say, for example, program like a landmine overhead press paired with a barbell RDL as a superset. Well, if they've only got one barbell, that becomes a logistic problem. And if you didn't think about that initially, that's something that the AI might be able to catch for you. So I do think there are some very valuable uses, but usually what I'm finding is that majority of the stuff, if you're in the field, you've done this long enough, you've probably already ran into some of this anyways, and it's probably not saving you as much time as you would think it is. And then going back to that, it's also basically undersourcing you, and people are hiring you individually, and they want your mind and the way that you think and the ideas that you have, and the AI user face is probably not going to have that. All right. The second category here is then going to be your communication and your check-ins. And I think this is where I see the most waste and the most chaos in terms of online coaching. And let me describe here what the wrong version of this looks like. So if you've got clients texting you on, say, your personal phone, some might be DMing you on Instagram, a few might email you, you could have, we're using like WhatsApp, right? You've got form check videos coming in different, three different methods. And check-ins happen whenever clients feel like it and not on a structured schedule. And in my opinion, this is not a business. This is just a chaotic nightmare to have to try to deal with. And I will tell you, back in the day when I was doing those old Google Sheet, or not Google Sheets, the Google Documents, and writing everything out, and I had a check-in sheet, and people would send me their check-in sheet over the weekends, and I would look at it. It was always the same sheet. And I can tell you that doing that email thing, man, it really sucks. The platforms today make it so much easier to do, especially from a time investment perspective. In my opinion, what you actually need is one communication channel, and you need it to be separate from your personal life, okay? That's just a hard out truth. I run an in-person business and obviously work with people online, and having one communication channel for each. My online people, it's usually through TrueCoach. Well, it is through TrueCoach. And then email if there's something important, obviously. And then the in-person business is all done through email, or they give me a phone call. I don't accept text messages for my business at all anymore. I just ignore them. I delete them. People ask me why. Hey, it says in the paperwork that you are to email. Okay, so be very clear and upfront with that. Whatever you want to have, but I'm just telling you to streamline your communication channels to one, and I promise you it will save you a big headache. Now, most of the coaching platforms that I mentioned already have built-in messaging, and I would suggest that you use that. If your coaching platform doesn't have adequate messaging, so dedicated tools like Voxer also work well as an asynchronous voice messaging system, which research on communication preferences and coaching relationships suggests is more emotionally connective than text alone and more efficient than doing video calls for routine check-ins. So for check-in structure specifically, you need a standardized form. You can use Google Forms, which is free and works perfectly for this. I have also created a check-in form on TrueCoach, and I have it placed at the end of the week, and I have a set of questions and how things felt. And I also have a daily readiness question on every single workout that my clients are doing that they are expected to fill out. And it lets me know, hey, what they are. Now, once I get to know people, I don't look at every single one of them. I look at the total, and then I look, are the totals trending, you know, relatively stable? Are they trending down? Are they trending up? That lets me know how overall they're feeling. And if the training is getting too tough, maybe it's not tough enough, right? Maybe there's something going on. Their sleep is constantly in the dumps. It lets me be able to address that. I do that all through the app. You don't have to do that. But for me, it makes it easier for me just to go look at things whenever I go to update things to begin with. You can also use Typeform if you want something that's a little bit more polished and conditional. It looks a little more professional, in my opinion. It really does. Jotform is another option there. The platform matters less than the structure, in that every client answers the same questions on a similar schedule, and that you can review all of these when it fits your workflow and then not reactively throughout the day. And the standardized check-in process is going to do two things. First, it's going to create data consistency so that you can see and actually track client progress, in meaningful aspects over time. And secondly, it sets professional expectations so clients understand this is a structured service. It's not an open-ended texting relationship. And then number three is that it protects your time. Check-ins that happen on your schedule or when you expect them to happen, not the client's impulse, are going to be a scalability requirement as you for you to take on more people. Another one here is then going to be video analysis tools. So if you're doing kind of form or movement assessment or technique coaching, I do think that a video analysis tool is something that could be potentially worthwhile. Coach's Eye and Huddle Technique are considered the gold standards here, and these, in my opinion, and they give you an annotation, slow motion, frame by frame analysis, side by side comparison, and it transforms your ability to actually give precise professional feedback. And then sending a client video of themselves with arrows and angle measurements is a completely different client experience than just typing your hips are dropping in the squat, right? The form of communication. The former is going to communicate expertise. The latter is something that almost anyone could say. And if you're not doing video analysis with your online clients, I think it's something to consider. I personally do not do it in terms of using the apps myself, but I do require and generally highly emphasize that if you're doing major big bang for your buck movements, your squats, your presses, your deadlifts, your RDLs, maybe even your chin-ups, an accessory movement that you have questions about, please upload the video so that I can see you do it and then give you some coaching feedback. Now, I say this only because I have done enough coaching in my life that when it comes to those tools, for me to use those tools, it's probably going to tell me something that I can already see And in True Coach, like the Sutra Coach 2, is you can slow-mo videos down within the user interface. So when I go out and actually watch videos and watch people train, I usually initially watch it the first time in just regular full speed, and then I'll put it into half speed. If there's still something wrong, then I'll slow it down even more to see if I can figure out what's going on. And I've coached long enough, and for most of my clients I've had long enough, the way I speak to them in that given video or in that given session is usually enough for me to be able to answer questions and give enough feedback. So I do think there's some uses here. If you really want to really dive deep down into the biomechanics side of things, I think it could be worth the investment. You also have to realize too that some clients may not want that much detail on their technique. They want one or two things. They're going to immediately try to clean stuff up. And sometimes I think that these video analysis tools could overanalyze things, and people are just like, oh gosh, I just needed help to figure out how to keep my back tight on my squat or my bench press or whatever, right? So I do think that there can be a case in point. So I'm not telling you not to use it. I think there's definitely a case. Me personally, I have not gone that far deep because I have not felt the necessary need for it. But you do what you need to do there. The third category here is then going to be the business and the payment system side of things. And I'll be very, very clear here. And this is where the gap between a hobbyist and a legitimate business is going to be the most visible, at least in my opinion. And when it comes to payment processing, if you're collecting all your payments through like Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, you know, things like that, and this is still happening, maybe you're taking cash, you know, you have a business infrastructure problem. And those are not professional payment systems. They're workarounds that create tax complications, at least in my business profession, at least my business expense, business experience, excuse me, and eliminate buyer protections, and then communicate to clients that your business isn't formal enough to have actual billing. Now, Stripe is the industry standard for independent coaches. It handles recurring billing, invoicing, failed payment recovery. It integrates with virtually everything else in the tech that we've already talked about. Square is also a strong alternative, especially if you have an in-person component involved. Both are straightforward to set up, use. The transaction fees are also generally around 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. And the cost of operating a really business, that's pretty normal. And if you're running group programs, courses, or higher ticket package, ThriveCart is worth the one-time fee. It has more sophisticated sales functionality and order to bump capability. With that can mean increasing average order value. Now, I will tell you, since I own a gym, we use Wattify as our standard point of sale system. And so everybody that I work with online runs through Wattify. And it's nice, as I get to this next section here, you'll understand. It's nice because I can email everything. I can keep all that payment stuff. And from an accounting perspective, I'm able to still lump all those payment transactions from a tax perspective. I don't have to go into a separate accounting software or what have you to be able to figure out, well, how much did I do in online revenue this month? I've got it all right there in one place. And it just saves me a big headache when it comes to taxes. So something also worth considering. But it does cost more. So if you don't own an in-person business, I do think Stripe is probably going to be your best way to go there. Or if you use something like True Coach, for example, and also Train Heroic, you can also take care of all the billing right there as well, and they will take care of a lot of stuff. So again, those user interfaces also save you a lot of hassle there. Now, when it comes to contracts and agreements, I do believe that you do need client contracts. Okay, I do believe they are non-negotiable. Not a verbal agreement, not a terms checkbox, you know, like that you got in an email and they said they're going to commit to it. An actual signed contract that outlines the scope of the service, how the payment terms work, cancellation policies, liability, all that kind of stuff. Again, going back to Wattify, I use all of that through my gym and just have my paperwork all done through that. Now, obviously, I know majority of people are not going to be in that position. So things like HelloSign, I think it's now actually called Dropbox Sign, if I remember correctly, at least from the research that I've done. DocuSign are also there, are both solid for digital contract execution. They're legally valid in the U.S. and most international jurisdictions under e-signature laws, so you do not need to mail physical documents now in 2026. Now, if you don't have a contract, you are one unhappy client away from a dispute that could cost you significantly more than the subscription would have. So it's really just a nice blanket piece of safety, right? I know that sometimes all these forms can be a pain in the butt. Sometimes it really depends on the lawyers that are getting involved and how they're written and all that kind of stuff. But usually speaking, if you're having people sign exercise liability waivers and they're doing contracts, not only does it make it look and it is more professional, but it also is just that extra blanket layer of safety and recovery, right? So like, for example, I have a 10-day cancellation window on all of my services, which is really generous in the fitness industry, if I'm being honest. But if somebody emails me the day before they want to cancel the training and I already wrote their training block, I have every justifiability to get that money, right? I already invested the time it took and my knowledge to write that training block. So I could justifiably charge it for it. Now, in my opinion, you do what you believe is best for your business and how you know the person. Those are all individual circumstances. But if you don't have anything in writing and they just sent you an email before and they want to cancel and then you bill them and then they say they want their money back, that could be a big red flag because you have no leg to stand on in terms of what the expectations are. And that could come back to bite you really, really bad in the long run. Now, when it comes to the accounting and bookkeeping side, QuickBooks is a very popular one. I like to use Wave Accounting for all my business needs, but Wave can be free depending on how you need it. So if you're a beginner, I would suggest Wave for people, but I use it for payroll and some different things. And then a lot of the accounting stuff is also done through Wattify. So I've got to blend those together. But generally speaking, if you're listening to this, I would suggest Wave, at least from firsthand personal experience. It's going to handle all your basic bookkeeping needs for most online coaching businesses. So if you're running a significant revenue work without any actual accountant, but at minimum, you need a software that separates business income from expenses and can generate reports and tax things, it's a really good one for you there. And I believe not doing this is not necessarily like a technology problem. I think it's a professional problem at the end of the day. If you are going to try to run a online business and again, treat it like it is a real business, provide some results and legitimacy, having the accounting and bookkeeping side, one, is going to save you a lot of headaches and tax time. And two, it is also going to be able to give you a snapshot of your business at any given point in time. Wave also can just import your transactions. So if you've got the business account, checking account, which you should, it can just import all those transactions. And all you have to do is just go through and verify them, right? And if you're only using the same card or the same account or whatever, you really shouldn't have to go through and just issue with going through and verifying them all. Now, how you categorize them, you may have to go through and do that, but you can even teach that and it will begin to catch on as you have recurring things that it knows how to automatically categorize them. And then you just have to verify them. So it can save you a ton of time. It's what I do. It's worked really well for me and my gym business as well. Now on the scheduling side, for any kind of synchronous touch points, so you want to have like a strategy call or sales calls, or maybe even reviews with clients, Calendly is the gold standard in my opinion. It's what I use to book usually calls for myself or at least some people's schedules. It's going to eliminate the back and forth of the scheduling and email chain of trying to figure out days and times at work. It also integrates well with Google and Zoom. And there's also a free tier that's going to handle all your basic needs. So again, I just use the free one. I set up my availability. I keep it active. I know if I got something crazy going on, I try to remember to get up there ahead of time and remove some availability. But also for all my clients, they know if they ever need to just book a call with me, they can go on there and just book one. I'm more than happy to talk stuff out with them in a good way that you can be able to get some more perceived value out of something is that, hey, you can just book a call with me anytime. And this is my general availability. And I can help you out. Now, you can also do other things as well, sir. But I do think having some kind of scheduling system to be able to have calls is going to save you a lot of headaches when it comes to picking out the day and the time that works best for everybody. And then the small detail that I believe a lot of coaches miss out on is that your Calendly link should have your intake questions built in so you arrive early to every single call with context on the person that you're speaking with. And that preparation reads as professionalism and makes the call more efficient. Now, what I do is I usually send the call link after I've done the application paperwork. So I send people application paperwork first to get all their general information. I read through all that and make sure we might be a good fit just from that. And then say, hey, here is the link to book a call with me. I'd love to talk this over with you more. Let's see what we can do. How you choose to do that, I think building it into that is also a very viable option. For me personally, I have my application set up so that people can apply at any given point. I don't have to have that built into the call specifically. They can apply separately And then it says within 72 hours, you will hear from me directly. Two different ways to do it. They both work. Work was best for you. Just know the Calendly link does have that option available. You can obviously do everything through Google as well. Now, the fourth category, and this is where I want to spend a good amount of time here, is challenging the conventional wisdom is the content in the marketing tools. And I think this is going to be a very uncomfortable thing to bring up, but I do believe most online coaches overinvest in content creation infrastructure relative to where they are in business development. And I have certainly been here. And I see coaches with, you know, less than 10 clients online, and then who have dropped several thousands of dollars on like camera equipment and podcast setups, professional lighting, editing software subscriptions, social media scheduling tools, and they're still not making a consistent enough revenue from coaching. And I believe that is a sequencing problem, right? You're putting the cart before the horse. Your content infrastructure should scale with your revenue, not precede it. And what you actually need to start here, just your regular cell phone is more than likely going to get things done. Shot in good, decent quality lighting is going to be sufficient for the quality level that's going to convert on social media, at least now in 2026. And the research on content marketing return on investment consistently shows that message clarity and audience resonance drive engagement far more than the production quality at the social media level. So you don't need cinema grade camera to make content that's going to bring in clients. You got to have some relatability. And then from an editing perspective, CapCut used to be free. It's now no longer. Edits is probably the one on Instagram that you're going to want. Both are definitely capable of doing what you need. The workflow is really good for short form content. Descript is also potentially worth paying for if you're producing longer form YouTube podcast content. The word-based editing and AI transcript cleanup can save a good amount of time. Adobe Premiere is the pro standard, but it does have a learning curve and subscription costs that most coaches won't justify unless the content production is a major business pillar here and incredibly important. So I would just avoid that. Go with CapCut or Edits. Use some AI stuff to maybe help clean stuff up for you on your captioning side, and really you'll get a lot done from that. The other one is that's also potentially available is Opus Clip, something that I personally use when I make my YouTube videos. I then put them into Opus Clip, get some good quality clips from them, and then post them on social media to be able to provide some free value, some snippets, try to get people to go watch the videos or tease the video, because again, those are two separate platforms. So, you know, what I post on YouTube is might be a 15, 20 minute video, which I clearly can't post on Instagram. At least it's not right now worthwhile. But I can post a clip of it of 30 to 60 seconds of me saying something and then try to give people the value there as well. So lots of different ways you can go about that, but that's another one that I think is probably worth the investment if you're making quite a bit of social media content, or if you already make content and you're trying to figure out how to snip it automatically and not have to automatically clip it yourself. That's a good one. I think there's some other ones out there as well, but that's the one that I personally have experience with. Then from an email marketing perspective, if you're doing nothing else in marketing, trying to build an email list and have an email platform, social media platforms are rented land at the end of the day, and your account can be restricted or banned. Your reach can be throttled by an Instagram change immediately like that. And an email list is an asset that you are going to own at the end of the day. MailChimp has a free tier up to 500 contacts. There's another one called Kit. I think it used to be called ConvertKit. Is the industry standard for creators and online coaches and has excellent automation capabilities. Flowdesk is a strong option as well if visual design of your emails matters to you. The templates are generally beautiful and they look really good, and it has a flat rate pricing regardless of your list size. Another thing I think that's important here is having a website, and you are going to need one. It's just not just an Instagram page, not using a link tree, and a true legitimate website. And it doesn't need to be complicated, but it needs to exist as the authoritative home base for your business. And Squarespace and Showit are both solid for coaches who want something professional without building completely from scratch. WordPress can give you more control and is better for search engine optimization at scale if content marketing is part of your strategy. Kajabi has also become a popular all-in-one for coaches who want a website, course delivery, and email marketing all consolidated in one place. The pricing is higher, but the consolidation may be worth it at a certain business scale. And then there's also CRM, and I think this is the tool that most coaches are missing out on. And this is what I want, what I actually want coaches to invest attention in, that most are ignoring: a CRM, or a customer relationship management system. And at the most basic level, a CRM is a system that tracks every lead, every prospect, every current client, and every past client, and where they are in that relationship, when you last contacted them, and what their next action is. And most coaches manage this in their head, and I am guilty of this. I'm trying to work on getting a CRM for myself set up here in due time, which is why referrals fall through the cracks. And re-engagement of past clients never happens, and follow-up on interested leads also potentially go cold. So a 2023 HubSpot report found that 44% of sales professionals don't follow up with a prospect more than once, while 80% of sales require five or more follow-up touch points. And that gap is where money happens to disappear, especially from an online coaching perspective. So HubSpot has a free CRM that is more than sufficient for most coaching businesses. Notion or Airtable can also function as a lightweight CRM as well, if you prefer to build something custom. The tool matters less than the habit of actually using it. And then the last kind of big segment here that I want to discuss is going to be putting this all together for you in one nice prepackage. And so for me, at the quote unquote essential tier, things that you need if you're running any kind of true online coaching business, in my opinion, one, a coaching platform, something like TrueCoach, TrainerOic, TrainerEyes, you get the idea. You're going to want a standardized check-in system, ideally formed based on a schedule, or again, you can use TrueCoach if you really like. That's what I use. Professional payment processing. So again, Stripe or Square, if you're using individual, again, TrueCoach and TrainerOic also allow you to do this just through their systems. You're going to want client contracts and liability forms. You're also going to want a scheduling tool to be able to let people be able to schedule with you online. You're also going to ideally want to have an email platform. Again, MailChimp is the one that I have the most success with. And then you're also going to want a website. And that's seven tools right there. And I think that's the baseline. Everything else is optional after that and should be evaluated based on whether it's actually going to solve a specific problem that you currently have in your business or in your coaching business, and not because someone on a podcast told you that it was going to be life-changing. Okay, so just understand here, I think if you do all those seven things that I have just listed, I think it's, and you don't have those, I think it's immediately going to legitimize your business more. I also think it's going to let you be able to charge more. I think it's going to provide more value for your clients. They are all things that I have had great success with. I believe they tremendously have helped me from an online perspective. Then the next tier, so let's say you have all some of those. You've got a pretty good sized client roster and you're ready to try to level things up. I think these are tools that are worth adding and could potentially add some more revenue in your pocket over time. And that's going to be the video analysis tool that we talked about. If you're very technique driven or you're working with a lot of technical aspects of helping people, could be very helpful. Then a CRM, being able to, you know, have that client management system, content editing software that you can use. Ideally try to find some free ones there. The free one would probably go towards the essential if you don't have any content at all, because people got to know you're out there. But if you've already got content, then you can look at using some other kind of software to help you out. And then also the accounting software. So, you know, if you've got a low level of clients, you might be able to track things just through a sheet or whatever. But I do think that once you actually got some real revenue coming in, you definitely need an accounting software to be able to help you out from a tax perspective and just overall see how your business is doing at any given point. And then the advanced tier, I think this one's only really relevant once content becomes a much more bigger piece of your business. And that's going to be then professional editing software or hiring somebody to outsource that to, your social media scheduling tools. However, a lot of them now you can schedule from, so you probably can skip this one, but they are separate tools up there that let you schedule everything. And then sales funnel software, so like ThriveCart and ClickFunnels, could also be a good one as well. And so if you're at the essential tier and you're already buying advanced tier tools, then you're putting, again, that cart before the horse. So fix those big core seven things, maybe add on the accounting side for eight, and then you are going to be good to go to really help your business there. And so here's the takeaway that I want you to get from today's episode is that technology should reduce the friction in your business, not create more friction or headaches. And if you feel overwhelmed by the technology that you're using, the answer is almost never that you need to add another tool. It's audit what you currently have and then eliminate what you're not using and make sure that the core infrastructure and the essential things that I mentioned are actually solid and you're using what you actually need. And the coaches who happen to scale aren't going to be the ones that are the most sophisticated with the tech stack. They're the ones with consistent operational systems that they follow reliably. And technology is an enabler of that. It's not a substitute for it. And if this episode happened to help you or gave you something useful from an online coaching perspective, I'd really appreciate a review over on Apple Podcasts. Hit the little star ratings over there or on Spotify. Hit that like button if you happen to be watching or listening over on YouTube. Subscribe over there as well if you haven't done so already. It helps other coaches and individuals in the industry find the show. Also lets me know if you happen to like some of the things that I'm discussing over on the episodes as well. And if you want to keep the conversation going on this, I always appreciate you reaching out to me on Instagram at bsmitley. And finally, I also want to give a big shout out to NutriBio, as always, for sponsoring me and helping things out. If you ever listen to the podcast, you can always head over to NutriBio.com and use the code SMITLEY10, that's SMITLEY10 at checkout. And that will save you 10% off your always great, amazing supplements that NutriBio has. I don't trust anybody else. You'll get some great goodies there, and it's going to save you 10% on your order. And that's all we've got today for the Thirst For More podcast. I'll see you at the next episode. Thanks for listening to Thirst For More podcast. Make sure you give us a follow on Spotify, iTunes, or anywhere else you like to consume your podcast. You can also check us out on YouTube at The Smitley, where you'll find clips and lots of educational-based material for strength and conditioning and exercise science. You can also make sure you give me a follow on Instagram at bsmitley or at Team Thirst, which is my gym Instagram page. For any more future updates on episodes to come, you can make sure you follow me there. I'm your host, Brandon Smitley. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you at the next episode.